You're listening to a podcast from 702.
So yesterday, while briefing Parliament's Standing Committee on Public Accounts, which is SCOPA, Minister Lynn Brown announced that she has referred the Tegeta coal deal and all other Eskom procurement from 2007 onwards to the Special Investigating Unit. Now, SCOPA yesterday was looking into two PricewaterhouseCoopers reports commissioned by Eskom to investigate the deals and compliance with the law. But let's look at whether or not there is anything likely to come out of that reference then to the SIU. We're on the line now to Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan is a principal forensic scientist at DFIR Labs, but also he previously was a detective with the South African Police Service Commercial Branch, but also he was head of the Cyber Forensic Laboratory at the Special Investigating Unit. Jason, good to have you on the program. Good morning.
Thanks, Lonnie. Morning.
Thank you very much. Before I just talk about your own views on this reference, let me just make reference to what some of our listeners are saying on Twitter. For instance, Simpiwe Mandlasilo says, SIU has been dealing with Mnenhle Makhanya since Moses played for Egypt with no tangible results. Totally useless. There's somebody called Mr. Kumalose who says, we're still waiting for the SIU's report, which investigated corruption in the greater Tubadza municipality in Burgersfort. So I can go on and on. Clearly, there seems to be a lot of people who are not convinced that the SIU is doing its job. Are they justified in their disbelief?
Well, I think we've got to be quite cognizant about exactly what the SIU is as an institution. So firstly, it's not an investigating body similar to the Hawks or the Old Scorpions or things like that in terms of its scope being quite limited. So to give you an example, the Special Investigating Unit receives its instructions directly from the State President, and the State President will define the terms and scope of those investigations. And as an institution, it's only allowed to conduct investigations within that scope. As the SIU, they have been quite successful in a number of areas, but again, having been involved with the SIU for over 17 years, there were obviously areas where they were perhaps less successful than they could have been. So I think, you know, when a member of the public raises a justifiable concern about the effectiveness of investigations, I think it's prudent for us to listen to those concerns. I would be very remiss to just dismiss those concerns out of hand simply because, they've been raised. So I think it's very important that where concerns have been raised, that we as citizens of this country should listen to those concerns quite seriously.
Sure. But Jason, you raise an important issue that a president actually has what it is called a declaration. Is that what it's called?
A proclamation.
A proclamation, I beg your pardon. So yesterday, Lynn Brown then says, I have referred these matters to the SIU. Has she got the powers to refer, or has she got the powers only to ask the president to give this proclamation?
Yeah, so effectively the process as it would follow normally is that whether it be a minister, a member of an executive council in a province, a mayor, for example, in a municipality, or a chief executive officer, accounting officer in the SOE, they could refer a matter to the SIU for investigation, but the internal process that we would be followed is the SIU would have to consult with the Department of Justice effectively in crafting a mandate for that investigation. So basically we would have called that preparing a proclamation. And that would have been then sent through to the State President's office, who would then decide if he was happy with those terms and references and whether or not he would sign the proclamation. So effectively the State President will decide what is investigated and the manner in which it will be investigated.
And also, why would Lynn Brown refer these matters to the SIU and not to the Hawks? What are the powers that the SIU has that the Hawks do not have?
So one of the unique features that a Special Investigating Unit has, and the enabling legislation actually makes provision for the creation of multiple Special Investigating Units should the State President choose to go that route. But a Special Investigating Unit is the only agency currently in South Africa that has what I'd like to refer to as civil litigation power. So in many instances, when you're investigating a crime, the standard of proof is what we call beyond reasonable doubt. Now, oftentimes with corruption cases, that can be quite difficult to prove because corruption itself is a hidden crime. Now, when you look at civil litigation, the burden of evidence there is what we call on a balance of probability. So I don't need to prove my case beyond a reasonable doubt. And sometimes it's easier then to get, to get civil litigation that allows the SIU to then recover funds civilly. The only drawback with that, when I talk about, reasonable doubt, is in a criminal matter, there's no onus on the defendant or the accused in the criminal matter to present a defense. The state has to prove their case completely. Now, the problem is in a civil matter, the defendant actually has a motivation to provide a defense. And if their defense is better than the SIU's investigation, then invariably they probably win the case in court. So it is a bit of a double-edged sword. But the advantage of the SIU is that at least it does have those additional powers. So in terms of Section 4 of the SIU Act, it sets out the sort of roles and functions of the SIU, and one of them is to investigate matters referred to it. If there is a civil matter that they can litigate on, they have the power to litigate. But at the same token, if they identify criminal offences, they are empowered. In fact, it's not even an optional matter. They have to refer to the National Prosecuting Authority for prosecution.
Okay. So
that's the advantage that the SIU would have over the Hawks, for example.
So, but there's a conflict of interest here, a clear conflict of interest, because you do say that ultimately the president, in his proclamation, will decide the terms of reference. Now, in the Eskom issue, the president's son is involved. His friends, the Guptas, are involved. So he certainly will decide how far the investigation goes. And there is a conflict, an obvious conflict of interest.
Well, that's one of the shortcomings within the SIU legislation. So if we compare it to other agencies internationally, like, for example, in the United States, they have a body called an Office of the Inspector General, which has very similar functions to an SIU. That's a truly independent body. Whereas here in South Africa, the SIU, because they have to take instructions from the state president, and those instructions are informed by the people referring the matters. And of course, the SIU scope is then limited only to those instructions. It does create a bit of a conflict of interest situation. And that's the shortcoming, and that's been identified from, when Judge Heath initially set up the Special Investigating Unit, when President Mandela set up the Special Investigating Unit. That was an issue that's been raised almost from the beginning of existence of the SIU, is that it's never been a truly independent body because of the way that the proclamation process is set up.
Jason, listen, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for the insights. That's Jason Yordan. He is a principal forensic scientist at DFIR Labs, but also he has worked with the SIU for many, many years.